Is daf lamin hey. So we got to the last five lines of lamin dalad and beis. The Gemara quotes what we saw earlier. Gufa, Tani Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kos Echad Hayav Mimali Midam Hataroves. So what happened was during the Karbanos Pesach, Erev Pesach was very, very busy, very active there. They're shechting animals left and right. So blood inevitably fell on the floor. So what happened was they took one cup and they were Mimali Midam Hataroves. They scooped up all the blood of the different animals mixed together on the floor. Shem Yishpach. If one of the blood spilled from one of the sheep, so nimsa shu machshiro. So even though that Reuven's sheep was shechted, the blood fell on the floor, you just scoop it up, and then all the mixture of the bloods that were there, you threw onto Mizbeach, and everyone whose blood was included in that mixture is fulfilled the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. So Amr lo le Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakama, the Chacham say to Rabbi Yehuda, halo lo niskabo b'kli. So the blood wasn't caught in the kli. We know the halacha is that if Kabbalah wasn't done, so then it's possible. Kabbalah has to take place directly from the tzavar ha-animal, the neck of the animal, the neck of the sheep has to go directly into the kli. If after going into the kli it fell to the floor, so then you could scoop it up. But if it never fell into the kli, it's possible. So how could you scoop up the blood that fell directly from the sheep onto the floor? That's possible. There was no Kabbalah directly from the neck. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Minal yada, how do you know? Maybe they actually did catch it in the cup, and then from there it spilled, and you're allowed to pick it up. So Ella Shema lo niskaba b'kli. Maybe it wasn't caught. I mean, there's so much blood, so much activity going on there. You have no idea if the blood came from the kli, if the blood came directly from the sheep's neck. It's so much confusion that's going on. Maybe it fell from some of the blood that directly from the sheep, and it would be possible. So Amar Lahen, so Rabbi Yehuda says back, Af ani lo amarti ella kishin niskaba b'kli. Even I hold that the only type of blood we'd scoop up, if it were to be blood that fell from the kli, that would be kosher. But if it's blood that fell from the neck directly onto the floor, I would agree that's possible not to scoop it up. So then they ask, well, hagufa minayida, how do you know when you see blood on the floor, how do you ascertain whether it came directly from the sheep, which would be possible, or it fell from the kli, which would be kosher? How does one know this? So the Gemara answers, kohanim zrizin v'avdinhi avdain hai u'mishtapchim. The Kohanim's reason, which Rashi says, mimikable lakulu, they're so careful, they're so precise, that there's no way they're going to let blood fall on the floor. All the blood from the neck of the sheep are going to go directly into the kli. Now, since they're so busy and running around, so then blood's going to spill over the kli and onto the floor, so they're certain that all the blood on the floor is certainly only after it fell into the kli and all going to be kosher. So then the Gemara asks, but what do you mean? But v'halo dam hatamtzis me'urava bel. Isn't there dam hatamtzis? What's dam hatamtzis? So there's machlokis in the Rishonim what dam hatamtzis means. According to Tosfos, which is the simple understanding, Tosfos and Chulim, after the animal already has been killed, any blood flow after that point, after, you know, if it's been shechted, there's still some dam nefesh. And once it's mamish been dead, it's like the body just stops moving. Any additional blood, that's called dam tamtzis. The Rambam thinks it's a little bit before that stage, a little bit before Karav Lamisa, but at some point, let's assume the animal's dead, and then blood flow comes out, and that's called Dam Tamsis. So what's the problem with Dam Tamsis? Says the Gemara, V'alo Dam Tamsis Murabo, and Dam Tamsis is possible for the, it's possible for, it's not really, really considered Dam. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Latame, Rabbi Yehuda goes L'shitaso, Dam or Dam Tamsis Kari Dam. He thinks blood that comes out after the death is still considered Dam. How do we know this? The Tani, the Brachta, tells us the Dam Tamsis Be'azhara. According to the Tanakama, normally the halacha is when a person eats Dam, regular Dam, he gets Chayv Kares. Tanakama holds, but if it's Dam Tamsis, then you only get an Azhara, it's only a Lav. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer Be'Kares, it's a full-fledged Dam, one Chayv Kares for Dam Tamsis, just like any other Dam. So since we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds by Achilas Dam, Dam Tamsis is Kari Dam, so to buy Zrikas Dam or Kabbalah's Dam, Dam Tamsis is called Dam. So all the blood that you picked up, even if it's blood that flowed after the animal's already dead, all that blood is scooped up, it's all considered kosher. So then the Gemara says, but Vaha Amar Rabbi Elazar, doesn't Rabbi Elazar say, that machlokis by Dam Tamsis is with respect to eating Dam. But Mode Rabbi Yehuda, agrees with Indian Kapara in the world of Kapara, in the world of Karbanos, which is our discussion, She'enu Mechaper. Even though he agrees that Dam Atamsis is called Dam with respect to eating Dam, but with respect to Kapara, it's not Mechaper Shenemar that says Dam Ki Adam Hu Anefesh, Dam Shenefesh Yotze Bo Kari Dam, blood that the life of the animal had left through that Dam is called Dam Legabe Kapara, but She'en Hanefesh Yotze Bo blood that nefesh didn't leave, meaning the dam came after the nefesh already had left the body, ain't kari dam. That's not called dam with respect to dam kapara. So dam atamsis does not work for zrikas dam, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So again, the question becomes: how can the kohanim pick up, scoop up the dam on the floor if some of the blood might be dam atamsis, which is not kosher for the zrika? So the Gemara ends up answering, Ella Rabbi Yehuda Latame Damer Ein Dam Mivatadam. He has this klal that blood doesn't knock out other blood. There is no problem of chatzita. Even though there's mixed together some dam here, it's not considered a problem, and you could scoop it up. There's some dam tampis. Dam tampis is possible, but it doesn't bother him because that's not going to affect the rest of the dam there. The rest of the dam will in fact be kosher. The Tosa asks this question. Now, it's implicit only Tosa. I'll read the question outside, then we can see it inside. Tosa implicitly asks the question as follows. So still, when you do this Rika, even though the Dam Tamsis won't disqualify the actual Dam that's there, you still can't throw Dam Pasel onto the Mizbech. You're still throwing Dam Tamsis onto the Mizbech. Isn't that going to be a problem? So Tosa's answer is on the very top here. Ein Dam Vatatam. Dam Tamsis Zarkle L'Shem Mayim. No, if you were to throw the dam tamsis l'shem dam, and it's not really dam, that would be a problem. But if you're throwing it on l'shem mayim as water, that would not be considered a problem. You can throw things as l'shem mayim, not for aktara, can be thrown onto the mizbech. That's based on the sugya daf ayin zayin. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar lehem Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, l'divreichem, according to your understanding here, lama pokikin hazara. The halacha was that they would plug the hole. There was a little ama, a little sewer that would pass through the base of Mikdash. All the blood would come into that sewer and go out of the base of Mikdash and would go and it would fertilize all the fields near the base of Mikdash. So during the avodah, the Gemara says, they'd be pokik in ha'azara. They would actually clog it. They'd stuff something in it so the blood wouldn't flow out, but it would overflow into the azara. So then why would they do this? So Amrullah, they said, because Shevachu Livnei Aaron Shehalchad Karakovosayim Bidam. So in order to step, so they're going to be knee deep in the blood as they're doing the avoda. So they say, Baha. So that's what they said. That was, it's a Shevach in doing so. So the Gemara then says, where do we go here? Vaha Dam Havi Chatzitza. Isn't dam, doesn't that serve as a chatzitza? And we know the Kohen has to stand on the ritzpa, on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. So if there's blood there, it's going to be a chatzitza. So Gemara says, lachu v'lo avi chatzitza. When something is wet, something is moist, it's not a chatzitza. Why not? So the Urim explains, because people are not makbid. If you get a little wet, it comes off very easily. If dam dries in a person, you need to scrape it off, scratch it off, that people are makbid on. We know one of the criteria for being chatzitza is it has to be hakpada. That has to be a person has to be bothered by this. But things that are wet, people are not bothered by, and therefore it's not a chatzitza, which would come out according to the Urim. If there were to be some liquid that people would be bothered by, then that in fact would be a chatzitza. It's all based on hakpada according to the Urim. Now, the idea of why is this a shevach for them to step knee deep into the blood? What's such a praise about this? So the Minchas Bikurim explains, because they are able to, everyone's disgusted by this. It's disgusting. The blood coming from the karbanos is disgusting to step into the blood. But the fact that they have so much love and chavivas for the karbanos, that they're not getting caught up in the disgustingness of the blood, they're willing to just focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do the karbanos, that shows how great they are. They're almost being moser nefesh of their own feelings and sensitivities to be meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the praise they had for the Kohanim. So we see from here, either way, that a davar lach is not a chatzitza. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah, I think, is the Maseches Nida. The Tnan Hadam Vadio Vadvash Vachalav, the blood, ink, honey, or fat, Yveshim, if they dried chotzin, it's going to serve as a chatzitza. If they're lachin, ein chotzin, they're not going to be chatzitza. So we see only a davar lach, rather only a davar yavesh is possible, but a davar lach is not going to be a problem. Now, there's interesting discussion in the Mishnah Melech. The Mishnah Melech says that the Mishnah in Yuma tells us that when a Kohen Gadol would get dressed between the changing of the begadim, he would have to nistapik, the Mishnah says. He would dry off from the mikvah. So the Mishnah Melech wants to know, is that a chiyuv, he has to dry off, or no, that's just what was done. People would dry off after the mikvah. So he says that he thinks, based on the Rambam, since the Rambam mentions v'nistabig, Rambam doesn't mention things just to mention things. So must the Rambam mentions it as a halacha. You have to dry off before putting in the begadim. Why? Because a davar lach, water, is going to be a chatzitza between the body and the clothing. So they say, wait a second, the Gemara in Zavachim Daf Lamed Hei says davar lach It's not a chatitza. So what they explain is that no, the idea of the water between the clothing and the skin is not a din chatitza by the Kohen. There's a special din by the big dekuna that has to be al gabe basar. The project is al bisaro. Not because of chatitza. There's a special din that the clothing needs to be dava specifically directly on the skin, not because of chatitza. In general, a davalach is not a chatitza. Legabe big dekuna, because of gzeresa kasev, it does serve as a chatitza. Okay. Some interesting things here to discuss. All right, let's go by it. The Gemara then says, "V'ha kamistas v'manayu." But as they're walking through the blood that's so high up on their legs, aren't they getting their clothing dirty? The big dekuna, the michnasaim, are now full of blood. V'tzna'an, the Mishnah tells us, we saw this a couple weeks ago, how you begadav mitustashim v'avir avodasa pesula. If the clothing's dirty, if the big dekuna is dirty, actually disqualifies the avoda. So how could they do the avoda with the blood knee high? V'chitema dimedaluhu, maybe they're going to hold up their pants up above the blood, so in this way they'll avoid getting dirty. Can't be. V'hatani, the Baraita tells us that mida kimidaso, that the clothing has to be tailored perfectly to the Kohen's dimensions, to his height. Kimidaso shlo yichase shlo yosir. It shouldn't be too short, it shouldn't be too long. So not only how they wear, but even just holding it up would be considered too short. So how do you get around this problem? When exactly would they be walking in the blood if they can't get their clothing dirty and they can't hold their clothing up either? So the Gemara answers, "Beholachas evarim lakevesh lavavodi." So they would, when they bring the limbs of the carbon to the mizbeach, that's when they walk mamish through the blood, stepping through the puddles of blood. So then Gemara says, "Hello, is it really true that the holachas evarim to the kevesh is not an avoda? It is an avoda." V'hatani, the Baraita tells us, "V'hikriv hakohen es hakol zu holeches evarim lakevesh." The pasuk tells us that the kohen would bring the different evarim, the different limbs, onto the mizbeach. It is an avoda. You can't walk in the blood. So elav holeches eitzim lamaracha delav avodi. We know when they schlepped the wood, they schlepped the lumber to the mizbeach as the firewood, that's, everyone agrees, is not an avoda. That's when they walk through the puddles of blood. So then the Gemara asks a very basic question. So if they can't walk through the blood, ula avoda, heichi azal. How do they get around when you're doing the avoda? When you're doing the shchita and the zrika and the kabbalah, the holacha kabbalah and the holacha sevarim. So then how do you walk through the blood if you're not allowed to get dirty and you can't lift up your clothing? The Gemara says, azli aitstavi. There were these little pillars that they'd step on, jump from one pillar to the next pillar, and they walk over. Imagine they have this in the picture books here. So the floor was covered to blood. Let's say, 2 feet high of blood. But then you had these pillars, which were 2.5 feet high. So they'd step from one pillar to the next pillar as they carried the limbs. Doesn't seem like an easy task at all. I mean, the cow is pretty big. They'd break it up into different parts. And the Mishnah Yuma describes how one carbon would hold the head in one hand and like a leg in the other hand. He'd be schlepping these limbs of the cow and stepping on these pillars, and he'd make his way over to the Mizbech. Okay. The Kohanim were quite talented. Let's go by. Yeah, there's a lot of depth to it. No question about it. There's a lot of panemius to all the karbanos. So then the Mishnah says, halfway down the page, Yashochet is a zevach le'echel davar she'ein darcho. We saw this Mishnah quoted, I think, twice already. A person shechts an animal with the intent of eating something, part of the animal that's not eaten. So you have in mind to eat the different emurim. The emurim, the different organs that are put onto the mizbeach. So you have in mind to eat those items. It's not going to be pigel. Pigel only works when you're doing something le'echel, a davar shedarchel le'echel. That's normally eaten. Or let's say you have in mind lahakdir davar she'eino darchel hakdir. Or you have in mind of a pigel of chutzas mano, chutzim komo, on an item in the mizbeach to be makdir outside the zman, outside the place, but it's a part of the animal that's not meant to be put as haktara, but it's meant to be eaten. So if you switch the chilim to haktara, it won't be pigol kasher, even though you thought of chutzim mano or chutzim komo. So Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, Poso, we saw this already before again, he is able to switch haktara and achila. He thought those two were interchangeable. So then the Mishnah says another example: Lechol davar shedarchel lechol ulahakdir davar shedarchel hakdir pachos mikazayis kasher. Let's you have in mind to eat something outside the zman that's normally eaten, or to be makdir something that's normally makdir but outside the zman or outside the makom, that would be kosher if it's pachos mikazayis. Pigel only takes effect if it's on a amount of a kazayis, whether it's for akhtara or whether it's for the achila. Then the Mishnah says, lechol kechati zayis, lachtir kechati zayis, kosher. Let's say you have in mind half a kazayis for akhtara outside this man, half a kazayis of achila outside this man. It's kosher. Why? Because she'ein achila v'akhtara mitstarf. And you can't combine these two aspects, and each one independently is only a half a kazayis, which does not render it pigel. Then the Mishnah says, "Hashochei zezevach lechol kazayis minaor." A person shechs a zevach to eat the kazayis from the skin, or minarotev for some of the sauce, the gravy, minakipa, which is I think some of the seasonings, minalul. Minalul Rashi explains here is a very thick, gid, a sinew in the neck, which is very hard and it can't eat it; it's inedible. Uminatzamos, some of the bones, uminagidim, other sinews throughout the body, uminakarnim, uminakarnim, it's a carrot, a horn, uminatzlafim, is also, I think, some type of horn.
Hooves.
Okay, the hooves then. Chutz lizmano, chutzim komo, kosher. If you have in mind any of these parts of the animal, it's actually also going to be kosher because it's not edible. Pigel is only chal on an item that's edible. These things are inedible and therefore doesn't render it possible, pigel. Let's say you had in mind for the animal that is normally eaten, that this cow, I want to have the cow outside to eat the basar of the cow outside this man, outside the makom, it would be pigel. And but let's say I ate the hoof of the cow or the horn of the cow, that would not be a violation of pigel nosar v'tamim, because that's not called achili. These things are inedible, even though the animal is pigel. And one who eats any part of the animal gets a chiv kares for doing so. It doesn't apply to the parts of the body that are completely inedible. Then the Mishnah says, "Hashochet es hamukdashin lechol shliel." Person shechs a hektish animal to eat the shliel, which is the fetus inside. Oh, shliel, which I think is the embryonic sac. Is that what they say it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so either the shalio, the fetus, or the shilia, the embryonic sac, the chutz, you have in mind to eat those outside, low pigel. That's not going to be pigel. The reason being, Rashi explains here, because these things people don't eat. You don't eat the fetus of a cow, you don't eat the embryonic sac, so it's not considered a davar achila. Let's say the Mishnah says, "Hamolik es hatorin lechol beitzem." You shech the dove to eat the eggs of the dove. Bechutz outside the time, outside the makom, lo pigel as well. That's something Rashi explained. It doesn't work either in that case because where did Rashi go? Rashi doesn't explain. I think the Gemara maybe explains. Then the Mishnah says, "Lachela mukdashim v'beitzei turin ein chayavim aleim mishum pigel v'nosar v'tame." So these chelav, these parts which are inedible, that are Rashi's chelav shebedadim in the udder. So the fat that rather the chalav and the dadar and the udder, these things are not part of the animal itself. The beitzim are also not part of the animal, and therefore they're not subject to the halachas of pigel. So again, pigel has to be attached to the animal, and also has to be something that is edible as well. Now the Gemara has the following halacha. The rest of the daf is going to be on this topic of Amar Rabbi Elazar, pigel bezevach nispagel hashlil, bishlil lo nispagel hasevach. So there's two words we have to know in dictically. There's something called being mefagel. Mefagel is something that causes pigel, and nispagel is one who receives, who becomes pigel. So a person, let's say, if I have in mind for the zevach, the karbon, that I want the animal, the cow, to be eaten outside the zman, outside the makom, so that animal is going to be pigel. That's called being mfagel. And as a result, the shlil, the fetus, is nispagel, becomes, it receives a din of pigel as well. But the opposite doesn't work. If I want to have a pigel in mind just for the shlil only, the mfagel shlil, that will not impact the shlil or the rest of the cow either. So what the yesod here is, even though something cannot be mefagel, it can be nispagel. Even though the shliel, my focus on shliel, the shliel cannot be mefagel the animal, but it can be the recipient of nispagel. If I am mefagel the cow, the shliel will receive the shame pigel. So the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, gives three different examples of this. Number one, again, pigel bezevach, if I have in mind to be mefagel the zevach, so nispagel shliel, the shliel comes along with it. The fetus inside the cow is also going to be pigel. But if my intent was for the shliel, mefagel the shliel, then lonis pagel zevach, the zevach is untouched. Second example, pigel ba'alil. The shalil again was that area of the neck which is inedible, but this we're talking about the bird now. Rashi explained by a bird, that part of the neck is edible. So although the Mishnah says it wasn't, our focus is on oaf. So if a person's pigel ba'alil, nispaga mora, even the mora, which is like the insides, the waist of the animal, that will also have a shame pigel. But if it's the opposite, the mara, I try to be mefagel on the mara, on the waste, which no one eats, so then lo niskabel olive, the olive will not become pigel. And then the third example is pigel be'emurim. If you have in mind the emurim, which are the limbs that are supposed to be, is referring to, Rashi explains here, the animals that are eaten outside, that are burnt outside the base of Mikdash. So if you have in mind pigel on the emurim, to be makdu the emurim outside the zman, so then not only would the emurim be pigel, but the parim themselves, all the animal, the basar, will be pigel too. But if you have in mind the parim, lonis pagla emurim. Because parim, it's a little confusing this example here, but the parim and the strafim are cows that are completely burnt, and you don't eat from it at all. Some animals, some karbanos we know, you eat, for example, a shlamim, the kohen eats, the baal eats, a chatas, only the kohen eats, and ola, no one eats. So parma and isra from these types of cows, whatever the examples are when they're brought, no one eats from them. They're only burnt. So let's say you had in mind to eat the basar outside the zman, it doesn't work because the basar is not edible according to the halachic standards. So if I have in mind for the parim, it's not going to impact the emurim. But if I have in mind for the emurim that they're supposed to be hukter, and I have in mind to be makir them chutz hazmano, so then that will impact the basar of the cow as well. So the principle again is just to review, something, although it itself cannot create pigel, if something else causes it, then it can be niskab, it can receive that shame pigel. That's the yesod here. So the Gemara says, this principle of Rabbi Elazar, who's an Amora, lema mesaile, maybe the following brisa supports his position, that even though it afa pishalo mifagel, adayin he nispagel, can be nispagel. So what's the example? The Gemara says, shavim shimchishev, so there's a machlokas, the Gemara doesn't tell you the whole picture, we're going to see that next week. The whole picture is discussing whether parm hanisrafim, these cows that are burnt outside the base of Migdash, and whether or not they're going to have a din of pigel. So there's a machlokas where the pigel applies to these parm hanisrafim. But they both agree, shavim says, the Gemara, last three lines here, shimchishev bachilas parim, if they had in mind to eat the par, which is not supposed to be eaten, or to burn the par, which is not on the Mizbech, after they would take the par and the Srafim, the leftovers would be burnt outside the base of Mikdash Shomer. We know that Din of Pigel only takes effect on the Mizbech. So if you're burning it outside the base of Mikdash, that's not a Din of Pigel. And if you try to eat something that's not supposed to be eaten, that's not Pigel either. So they both agree that again, imchishev bachilas parim, to eat the par outside the zman, it doesn't work because you're not supposed to eat this cow, and you try to burn it outside the mizbeach, that's not going to have effect of pigel. So Gemara says, now my lav, is it not the following inference can be made now? You could say, but hachishev be'emurim nispalgu parim. The only reason why in this case there's no pigel, because you had in mind for the par, to eat the par outside the zman, and the par is not edible. If one had a mind to be makir the emurim outside the zman, that would be pigel, and it would also nispalga the par, it would be able to create pigel in the par. So even though the par can't be mefagel, it can be nispalga, can become par, can become pigel rather. And the Gemara says that's not a raya, because you can interpret the braisa differently. Lo, ha chashi be emurim, nispalga emurim, asman. The dig that can be made is that if you have a mind to be makdir the emurim outside the zman, what would the result be? That the emurim would be subject to pigel. But doesn't prove that other items, that the par, the basar, would be subject to pigel as well. So there is no raya from that brisa. So our attempts to bring another brisa, two lines down in Amud Beis. Tashma. Parm ha-nisrafim, visim ha-nisrafim, mo'alin behen. So the halacha is once you're machdish these animals, there's already a din of me'ila to them. So let's say nishchatu, once you shech these animals, so now it becomes hochshiru, it's now susceptible to the following psulim. The pasul b'tivul yom, one who goes to the mikvah, but he hasn't yet experienced the her shemesh, he's pasul to the karbon. U'mechusar kippurim, he hasn't yet brought the karbonos to complete his entire process, he also disqualifies the karbon. Ubelina, lina is if it's left out overnight, it's also going to be subject to the psul. So Gemara says, my lav, linas basar. What's being left out is not referring to leaving out the basar overnight. So just like if you leave the basar overnight, this is referring to parma and nisrafim. Now parma and nisrafim, you don't eat the meat. So just like if you left the meat out overnight, it's pasul, shema mina, we could assume also, migo de pasul belina, pasul ba machshava. Lina is where you left it out overnight. Machshava is where you thought to leave it out overnight. You thought to eat it, achila, outside the zman. So they're trying to prove from this brisa, though it's obviously not so clear, they're trying to prove that psul machshava is chal on the basar of the par, even though you don't eat the meat. Meaning, even though the basar itself cannot be mefagel, it can be nispagel, it can be affected by pigel on the emurim. So Gemara says, no, lo, linas emurim. This is not referring to the basar, it's referring to the emurim, which are the parts of the body, parts of the cow that are brought onto the mizbeach. That, everyone agrees, if you makter the emurim outside the zman, it's chal, it's pigel, and it's pagel. But the idea of the basar is not on the radar here at all. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Muhammad de Katani Seifa, doesn't the Seifa continue to say, Kulan mo'alan ben abes hadeshen achiyuta chabasar? That the Mishnah explains that the Isser of Me'ila is there. You can't get hana from the carbon up until a point, until you've cut the meat. So we see the Seifa, the subject matter is basar. So just like the Seifa, the subject matter is basar. So shouldn't we assume the Reish is also about the basar? And we would say that the Linas basar, Lina is referring to the basar, and Pigel also refers to basar, so basar is subject to nispagel. And the Gemara says, no, again, Mechlad the Reisha, Linas basar. Gemara says, no, midi irya, each one's unique. Hakadisa, hakadisa. Just because the Seifa is about basar doesn't mean the Reisha is about Seifa. The Reisha could very well be, Reisha is a murim, and the Seifa could be about basar, and there is no proof that the Reisha has any bearing on this discussion, that even though basar can't be mefagel, it doesn't prove that it could be nispagel either, though. Gemara now says, Mesiv Rabba. Rabba asks the following question. We're still going on this principle again, that even though something isn't mefagel, it can be nispagel. The elu she'ein mefaglin ve'ein mispaglin. The following are items of the animal that can't mefagel, can't create pigel, it also can't receive the she'ein pigel. Tzemer shebarashe kvasim, the wool that's on the head of the different sheep. V'seyar shebezakan teyashim, the hair, the beard of the goat. The ha'or, the skin, ha'rotiv, is the gravy. Ha'kipa, the spices, the ha'alil, that sinew in the neck. Ha'mara is the waist. Ha'tzamos, the bones. Ha'gidim are the other sinews of the body. Ha'karnim are the horns. Ha'talfin are the hooves. Ha'shlil is the fetus. Ha'shilya is the amniotic sac. Ha'gidin, ha'karnim, ha'chelev, ha'mukdashim, the milk and the udder. Ubeit etorim, the eggs. All of these things, either because they're inedible or they're not part of the body, kulan lo mefaglin v'lo mispaglin. And what? No, either they're inedible, or even if it is edible, it's not part of the animal. So it's not part of the animal, so fine. V'ein chayav malei mishim pigel v'nosa v'tame. And let's say the animal was pigel, because you had in mind the rest of the animal, which is subject to pigel. These things, since they're not edible, or they are not part of the body, then it's still, so again, it can't create pigel, and doesn't receive pigel. So it just repeats that line again. Again, ein chayav malei mishim pigel v'nosa v'tame. And furthermore, hamal lehem behem bechutz pater. There's a halacha called shchut echutz. You cannot shecht an animal or do any other avoda of a davar hekdesh outside the base of Mikdash. So all these items listed here, since they're not really part of the animal, if one were to be mala them outside the base of Mikdash, you don't get a chiyuv of shchut echutz. So that's the brisa. So the Gemara now says, what's the kasha? My lava does not mean lo mifaglin hazavach. So just like we had this whole list here, is it not to can we not conclude as follows, that these things can be mefagel, and they also can't mispaglin, can't receive pigel, even though the rest of the carbon is pigel, these things don't receive it. Meaning, we would say against Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar felt even though these items can't be mefagel, they can be nispagel, this Gemara concludes they can't be mefagel, and they also can't be nispagel. The Gemara says no. Lo. Lo mifaglin es azavach, v'lo mispaglin machmas atzman. They can't be mifaglin, they can't create pigel on the zavach, but at the same time, if you try to make them pigel, they themselves are also not pigel. When would they be pigel? If the rest of zavach is pigel, then you would say these items, even though they're not mifaglin, they can be mispaglin. So there is no proof from this brisa either. So then the Gemara says, if that's the conclusion here, ihachi, hadikatani sefer, the sefer that says, kulan lo mefaglin lo mispaglin hasulamli. Why are they repeating that line here? It's completely superfluous here. Ulatamech, according to your reasoning, ein chayavim aleh mishim pigol hasulamli. It seems in the end of the day that this statement, this Bryce is saying two extra statements here, repeating itself two other times. Se'ela, I did the Baila Mitzvah no Sevetame. Since it wanted to say it's not subject to no Sevetame, it unnecessarily included a Tana Pigal as well. The Gemara does that. The Mishnah does it sometimes. They mention it again just to group them together. Hachanami, here as well, Aidi, Debai, Lemisne, Hamala, Men, Vechutz, Tanami, Vechulan, Lo, Mefaglin, Vlo, Mispaglin. So we repeat it again, but there are no conclusions to be made from this Brisa, or any kashas to be made from this Brisa, regarding the halacha that Afa P, Shlo, Mefagel, it's still Nispaglin. The Gemara now says another proof, three wide lines down. Rava, Amar, Af, Ananami, Tanina, we also learned in the Mishnah. One who shechs the animal to eat the fetus, to eat the embryonic sac, or the outside the zman, it's not pigal. A person's molik is at torim, he does molika on the dove, lechel beitzeim b'chutz, to eat the eggs outside, lo pigal, because the beitzim are not part of the bird itself. V'hadir tani, but then the Brisa says, chalav ha-mukdashim u'beitzei turim, ein chayav aleh mishim pigal, v'no sar tameh. It lists here only the udder, the milk in the udder, and the eggs are not subject to pigel. But what it leaves off this list, hashlil vishulya chayavim, implies that that which is left off the list, a fetus and the embryonic sac, would be chayav and pigel. So are they chayav and pigel or not chayav and pigel? To which Rava concludes, elalav shma mina, kan machmas hazevach, kan machmas atzman shma mina. Which means, again, if you try to make the shulya pigel, it won't work. We make the zevach pigel, then the shilya will receive, it will be mispagel alongside the zevach itself. Mar now quotes another mishnah that appears in Masechet Zvachim as well. Later on in the Masechta here, Tanan Hasim. The mishnah tells us that Bali Mumin, Rabbi Kiva's machshir, the Bali Mumin. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Kiva allows you to accept the Baal Mum. Now obviously, l'chachila, we don't allow Baal Mum to go on the Mizbech, but there's a concept, im Allah, lo yered or teired. If something goes up on the mizbech accidentally or incorrectly, do we let it stay up, lo teired, or would we say teired, bring it down? So it depends on the different items, what the psul is. Rabbi Kiva has this statement that says, anytime a baal mum accidentally goes on the mizbech, imallah, lo teired, don't bring it down, we'll leave it there on the mizbech. So comes along Rabbi Chia to qualify Rabbi Kiva. Amr Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, lo hichshir Rabbi Kiva. It doesn't say this across the board by all by mumim. Ella bedukin shebaayin, only bedukin shayim, which I think are cataracts or something. Yeah? This cataract, which is a problem. So normally that's a psul, but hol v'ksherim be'ofos, since by an oaf, it's not a baal mum by an oaf. The birds have different criteria of what's considered a baal mum. What's the criteria of a bird? So very simply, you look at Rashi, Tosus said the same thing, that look at Tosus, it's just easier to find. Tosus, dibar maschil, ella bedukin shebaayin, hol v'ksherim be'ofos, lav dafka dukin shebaayin, not only these cataracts, but duadin shar mumim, other mumim as well, she'enu mechusre aver, it's not lacking a limb, meaning what? The only psul that applies to a bird if it's missing a limb. There are a list of other mumim that the Gemara in the Maseches Bechora spends time on, the 4th and 5th prakim, talk about all the mumim that apply to behemos, which are many of them. Those don't apply to an oaf. The only psul by an oaf is missing a limb. So dukin shebaayin is just one example that doesn't apply to an oaf, but many others don't apply either. Or it says, suggest toes, maybe the shar mumim pasi midirabanan. It's possible that midiraisa, the other mumim don't apply to a bird, but maybe midirabanan and the other mumim do apply to a bird, and dukin shebaayin might be the only exception where even midirabanan is accepted with respect to a bird. So says Rabbi Akiva, since we have the cataracts which don't pasel a bird l'chachila, if a behemah b'di'eved with a cataract was placed on the mizbech, we would accept that. But all other mumim, real mumim, and missing limbs, that we wouldn't accept even b'di'eved. So then the Gemara says further, v'hu shekidim hekdeshin es mumim. This is all true only if first they're makdish the animal, and then it developed this cataract, and then it placed the mizbech. But if the cataract came first, if you're makdish the behemah with this dukin shebaayin, the kedusha wouldn't be chal in the first place. You can't be makdish an animal if it already has a mum. Only if it's become hekdesh and then it gets a mum does it retain its kedusha, its guf to it. So then the Gemara says, umod the Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva agrees, however, one example where he would say teri, where you would bring the animal down. When is that? Be'olas nekeva. You put an ola up, a female for an ola. An ola, the Gemara, rather the Pesukim tell us in Vayikra, an ola comes from a zachar. A chatas comes from a nekeva always, an ola always comes from a zachar, and a shlamim comes from either a zachar or nekeva. So if you make an ola, which could only come from a zachar, you make a nekeva into an ola, that doesn't work. That's an example of tegeman de kaldim muma lekdesha dama. That's like where the animal had a mum prior to its hektish. It's a female. A female can't be a ola, and therefore that would be an example where Rabbi Kiva would say to bring that animal off of the mizbeach if it was a female ola. The Gemara asks the question, Mesiv Rebbe Zera. Hamale ben Bechutz Pater. Let's say a person takes it and puts it on the Mizbeach, it's Pater. What's it referring to? Here's a Rashi explains here. We're talking about the Shli. We're talking about the fetus. You take the fetus and put it onto Mizbeach. One is Pater. It's not a violation of a Chutz, of a Shchute Chutz or Male Bechutz, because that's not part of the animal. Only if you take a part of the animal itself that's hektish, and your mala b'chutz, you do it outside the base of Mikdash, would it be a violation of mala b'chutz? But to take the fetus, which is not part of the hektish animal, and to put it outside, that would be patur. So the Gemara says we could be medayik from here though. If you take the flesh, the basar of the mother, so then you would be chayv for mala b'chutz. So the Gemara says, which carbon are we talking about? Are we talking about a chatas, an ol, a shlomim? Well, heichi mishkachasla. What's an example? Has to be an olas nekeva. Because we're talking about right now a basar. Now the lach is that the only time shchutei chutz, when I use shchutei chutz, it really means not only shechting, it means all the avodas. Any avoda b'chutz, it's only chayv if it's roy to be done inside the mizbeach. So we're talking about basar right now, the flesh. The basar of a chatas is eaten. It doesn't go in the mizbeach, it's eaten. So that's not subject to shchutei chutz. Basar of shlomim is eaten as well. That's not subject to shchutei chutz. The only animal, the only carbon of basar that's brought in the mizbeach is an ola. So the basar of an ola should be brought onto the mizbeach. You take the basar and bring it outside. That's when there would be a violation of shchutei chutz. So now wait a second. We're talking about a shlil, a fetus, and we're talking about the mother. We're talking about a nekeva. So we already established we're talking about a carbon ola, because only a carbon ola could you discuss a basar of shchutei chutz, and now we're talking about the child, the fetus of a mother. But we already said before that you can never have an ola that comes from a nekeva. So look what the Gemara says: Heicha mishkachasla beolas nekeva. So I amris, if you're going to tell me bishlama kasava Rabbi Kiva olas nekeva imalsa lo tered, against what we said before, if you say that Rabbi Kiva thinks that even an olas nekeva, if it goes up, you don't have to bring it down. So Hamani Rabbi Kiva. This could be Rabbi Kiva who says, since Bidi'eved, we can accept an Olas Nekeva inside Bidi'eved, so then outside you could violate Shchutei Chutz. But El, if you say, like we assumed above, Iamris Imalsa Tered, that he would bring it down, which is what Rabbi Kiva did say above, meaning it's possible, so then you can't be violating Shchutei Chutz by taking an Olas Nekeva outside either. Hamani, who authored this Braisa? So the Gemara says, no, learn the following. You're making the wrong diuk. Ema hamala en mein b'chutz pater. If you take the basar, the shlil itself is considered basar, flesh. That's what the fetus is considered, flesh. So you take the flesh of the of an ola, so then you'd be pater. If you take the emure iman chayiv, you take the different, now we're not talking about the an ola anymore. We're talking about, let's say, chatas or shlamin, which come from a nekeva. So if you take the, and now it's very possible shlomim could be pregnant. So you take the shlil, the basa, the flesh of the shlil, and you bring it outside your pater. But if you take, not the basar of the shlomim, but you take the emurim, the different organs, which are supposed to go in the mizbeach of the mother, so then you bring it outside, you be chayiv. Now the problem is it's not congruent, because we're talking about the basar of the shlil versus the emurim of the shlomim, those are not the same. So the Gemara asks the question, don't you have to have similar connection here, that the basar shlil to the basar of the mother? You can't do the basar of the shlil to the emurim of the mother. It's not congruent. So the Gemara says, no, the following dik should be made, and there aren't going to be any questions, and this is what the Gemara concludes. Now we're saying, you take the emurin of the shlil, the different organs of the fetus, and then your mala b'chutz, your pata, because the shlil overall is considered very secondary to the carbon. But if you take ha me'emurei iman, if you take the limbs, rather the organs of the mother, of a either a chatas or of a shlamim, not a ola, of a chatas or shlamim, then one would be chayiv for shchutei chutz. Okay, we'll stop here for now.